Welcome to the Cinema Faith podcast for August 2015. I'm your host, Jonathan Butrin, and today we are excited to introduce a brand new component to Cinema Faith, something hopefully will become a yearly tradition that you look forward to. See, we started thinking that there's all these award shows in like late spring, early winter, right? You have the Golden Globes and of course the Oscars, but then there's this huge gap just begging to be filled, and we wanted to fill it. So we got to thinking, what if there was an award show that honored excellence in summer movie entertainment, a summer movie award show? And that's what we want to bring you today. We call it the Brody Awards. So I want you to imagine right now that you're in this grand ballroom, right? You're dressed up, dresses, tuxes, your friends are there, Cinema Faith is there, the Hollywood elite are all gathered around, chatting nervously, and the lights are going down. It's time to sit back and enjoy the show. Now, you'll have to bear with us. This is only year one of the Brody Awards, so we could not snag any premium talent. Neil Patrick Harris, the jerk, would not work for free, no matter how many times we asked him, so there will not be a dance number. There will not be anything fancy. But hopefully, you know, we're still young. Don't worry about it. Someday, I think we'll all look back at this simple time and laugh. But for now, let me just start off by giving you the origin of the name, the Brody Awards. What do we mean by this? Brody. Where does Brody come from? Brody is a reference to Chief Brody from the 1975 classic Jaws. Jaws was the first film to be coined with this title, blockbuster. The term was around before that, but Jaws was the first movie where blockbuster was applied to, because it was an event. People loved Jaws. They saw it, and they immediately wanted to see it again. Then they went and they brought their friends, and they wanted to see it again and again, and it became such an event that people are actually lined up around the block to see Jaws, and that's where this term came from, blockbuster. So Jaws was the very first summer blockbuster. It was a thrill ride, right? And it was actually the first film to gross $100 million, and that changed everything. Studios saw this and they realized that if they could create this event, people will not just want to see the movie once, they'll want to see it like 10 times and bring their whole family to it. So it became this quest for the studios to create the summer blockbuster. But more than that, Jaws is a really good example of a summer movie because it's both an event, for sure, but it's a truly a great work of art. I mean, this is Spielberg early on, and he just lights it up. It combines everything you can want out of a movie. You got explosions, but emotions, right? Big moments, but small moments. This really great monster out there in the ocean, but also really great acting. It's just this perfect mix of fun and brains, and for me, that's the essence of a good summer movie. Something that isn't just a cash cow, it isn't just about making things blow up. It is that, of course, because it's the summer, that's what it's been about, but it also is something that stands alone as a true work of art. So, why Brody? Well, when I think of Chief Brody, I just think of wisdom. Here's a guy who scans the horizon, and he knows that shark is out there. And no matter who tells him that it's gone and it's not going to bother anyone, and no matter how much that mayor gets all in his face and calls him names, Chief Brody knows what's up, right? There's that image of him just standing out of the horizon as everyone's swimming and everyone's just going about their day and joining the masses. Oh, the beach is safe, no worries, Chief Brody. He stands alone, and that's what we want to be when it comes to this whole idea of summer movie entertainment. We don't want to be caught up with the masses and just enjoying things for spectacle. We want to go beyond that, and we want to award excellence. We want to see what really stood out from the pack. We want to have our eyes on the horizon of the summer and get to the real heart and soul of what made this season great. So I know you guys can't see the Brody statues at home, but just imagine a statue that's just Chief Brody with one hand over his eyebrows, scanning the horizon for that shark. Just like we scan this season for those films and those performances that weren't just money cows, but stood out as works of art. That, right there, is the Brody Awards. All right, so before we get started here, we need to define our nomination pool here. These are only summer movies, so that's going to be May through August. So there may be some movies that you've seen this year that you liked that didn't make the list because they were outside that window. Ex Machina, for instance, came out in April, so that is not eligible. And we have three movies for every category, three nominees per category. So let's get things started. Our first category is the best movies we didn't see. The best movie we didn't see. A Cinema of Faith, we try really hard to get out there and see all the good ones. Every single good movie that's worthy of seeing, we want to be there front and center, but inevitably, there's going to be some that falls through the cracks. So here are the best films we didn't see. The nominees are Dope, Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, and The End of the Tour. And the Brody Award goes to Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. All right. Congratulations. You win the first Brody of the evening. Now, Dope, of course, came to our attention because it got a resounding 88% on Rotten Tomatoes. Anything that gets that catches our eye. Great reviews. I can't wait to watch this movie. I really can't. The people are saying it's original, it's insightful, it's a writer-director film. I really want to check that out. So the minute that comes on DVD, you will see a review of Dope. The End of the Tour, of course, with Jason Segel, Jesse Eisenberg. That looked great, too. David Foster Wallace is this novelist, and the movie is kind of this, looks like a documentary, but it's not. Just looks like one of those really great, under-the-radar summer movies that meditates on life and art and everything in between. So that's The End of the Tour. Can't wait to watch that. But at the end of the day, nothing can beat the buzz around Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. This movie, like, came flying out of the festival circuit with flames around it. I mean, just people gushing about this film, like, already proclaiming it as the best movie of the year. I know friends personally who've seen it, says the best movie they've seen in ages, so I cannot wait to see this movie, and I'm really sad that I missed it, honestly. It's just, I wanted to be there so bad and get this one in, but I couldn't. It just slipped through the cracks. So, Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl, don't worry. When this thing comes out, I believe it's slated for October, a DVD release in October, I will be all over it, we will review it, and this probably will be at a high place on our top 10, if not number 1. So, I apologize that it was not in the running for the Brody Awards, but it will, of course, receive vindication if it's worthy come Oscar time. And yes, that is our first Brody of the night. Next up, we have Best Supporting Actress. We are going to start early on with some of our major categories. Here we go. Best Supporting Actress. And the nominees are Phyllis Smith for Inside Out, Rebecca Ferguson, Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, and Evangeline Lilly for Ant-Man. And the Brody goes to Phyllis Smith for Inside Out. Yes. Congratulations, Phyllis. And we, of course, know Phyllis from The Office. Phyllis Vance, married to Vance from Vance Refrigeration. But Phyllis was great in Inside Out. She was just great voice work. She's got the perfect voice for sadness, just that weepy, dreary voice, and it worked perfect in Inside Out. She was really central to the story with her connection to Joy, and she knocked it out of the park. So congratulations, Phyllis. Good voice work. You win the Brody. But props to the two other supporting actresses in that category. These are performances that you're not going to hear about come Oscar time, all right? and probably justifiably so. There aren't any huge moments. There's not a big arc, but they're solid performances, and you're gonna find that a lot in the summer, right? They take up a lot of screen time, and there's not a bad note in there, right? Not even a bad minute. So they kept the ball rolling, and they were good performances. So congratulations, Rebecca Ferguson, Evangeline Lilly, for being nominated. But Phyllis, you are the Brody Award winner for Best Supporting Actress. All right, so moving on, we have Best Supporting Actor. Best Supporting Actor. And the nominees are George Clooney for Tomorrowland, Michael Douglas, Ant-Man, Paul Giamatti, Straight Outta Compton. And the Brody goes to Michael Douglas for Ant-Man. Whew! Kind of an upset here. I know, I see it on your faces. I think a lot of people were really rooting for Paul Giamatti on this one. I don't blame you. I mean, dude, what a performance. And Straight Outta Compton, there is no question. He played Jerry to a T. Great emotional scene at his house with Eazy-E. Definitely one of the most unforgettable scenes in that movie. And I think, actually, he was also the only not racist guy in the whole picture from a white perspective, which was refreshing. Props. But yeah, no, Paul Giamatti was fantastic, and George Clooney was too. Just because it's a kid's movie. I mean, George Clooney brought a lot of energy to the role as Frank. He sparred really well with the lead, Britt Robertson, who played Casey, and there was a good chemistry between them. And in the minute Frank comes on screen, you know, there's already a lot of energy in the movie, but George just injects an extra dose of it and kicks the thing to overdrive. So George Clooney was fantastic in Tomorrowland, but this award really belongs to Michael Douglas. I was skeptical when I saw the trailer for Ant-Man. I thought, you know, I was excited to see Michael Douglas, obviously, but I thought it would be more of a joke of a role for him, something that, here's this prestigious actor, and it's going to be really self-referential, and maybe there'll even be a Wall Street quip in there somewhere, and it'll just be yuck it up for 2 hours, hearty har har. But I was surprised. This was a real character, a genuinely good character that we cared about. Douglas plays this guy named Hank Prim, and we care about his pain. He just has this sadness in his eyes, and we learn why that sadness is there, and we learn about this mission that he wants to accomplish and why he cares about it so much. And we're just with him every step of the way. Michael Douglas was the standout of Ant-Man. Paul Rudd was great. Paul Rudd is always going to be great at being Paul Rudd, and I thought he was perfect for the role, but Michael Douglas really stole the show. He did, and it was just blew me out of the water. So congratulations, Michael Douglas, you win the Brody for Best Supporting Actor, and I have no doubt he will put that proudly next to his Oscar for Wall Street. I think they will look very nice together in the case. So Michael Douglas. All right, next up. Oop, this is a much coveted award. This is Best Gangster Rap Soundtrack. Yes, Best Gangster Rap Soundtrack. And the nominees are Inside Out, The War Room, and Straight Outta Compton. And the Brody goes to, oh, Straight Outta Compton. Whoa, there's some people booing. Yep, I get it. This is an upset, folks. I don't blame you, and I'm just reading the results tonight, okay? So don't shoot the messenger. It really makes you wonder, did they even see Inside Out, right? All right. I'm just as shocked as everyone else. That's, well, you know, enjoy the Brody, Ice Cube. I think we all know who deserved that one. So, all right, we got to move on. Let's move on, guys. It's okay. The Brody goes to Straight Outta Compton for Best Gangster Rap Soundtrack. Whew. All right, Best Action Movie. So, The nominees for Best Action Movie. This is pure action, just like sit back and enjoy the ride. Action movie of the summer. The nominees are Avengers, Age of Ultron, Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, and Mad Max, Fury Road. And the Brody goes to Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation. Yes. Now, a lot of people might have thought Mad Max was going to get the gold on this one. I get it. I mean, if you're looking for action, you can't go wrong with Mad Max. There was just wall-to-wall action. I mean, really, Mad Max was like, from the minute one, just a ride. Get on board, and from the moment it's done, you are going to be on a roller coaster. Just this amazing, well-orchestrated mayhem. Definitely a great action movie. And the Avengers had great action, too. Don't forget about the Avengers Age of Ultron. The way that the whole team worked together and fought in those scenes, I thought it was really well done. It was like a ballet-like action, kind of like Mission Impossible. That was also a great action movie. But I think there's something that separates Mission Impossible from the pack when it comes to action, and it's a suspense factor. There's something just, and this is what's just great about the Mission Impossible movies as a whole. They really know how to up the stakes. I mean, just right from the off the bat, you got Ethan hanging off the side of a jet, right? Later on, Ethan's underwater. He doesn't have a mask, and he has to complete this mission. He's running out of oxygen. There's something that feels really human about Mission Impossible. And every single time that they get in this little pickle, I mean, you just feel it. And I think that is what takes that action to a new level, is that you are on the edge of your seat. There's always some sort of ticking clock, and that makes the action really pop out. And who can forget in Mission Impossible that scene in the opera, right, where Ethan's battling those guys on the rafters, and just down below you have the opera singing out, and the way the action coordinates with the music, I just thought it was a beautiful scene. So if you're talking about action as art, I think Mission Impossible is the ruler of the day on that one, for both pure action and for artistic action. So congratulations, Mission Impossible. You win the Brody for Best Action Movie. All right. Next up, we have the Best Fun Movie. It's kind of an awkward category title, but it's just, this is the movie of the summer that made you feel like a kid again. Something that just is pure fun. It has action, but at the end of the day, this is the one that stands out as being the most fun experience of the summer. And the nominees are Tomorrowland, Ant-Man, and Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. And the Brody goes to Tomorrowland. Ha, yes. Yes, definitely agree with that one. Now, I mean, all three of these are legitimately fun movies. You got Mission Impossible, which has just always been a great blend of humor and action, with Simon Pegg, you know, combined with Tom Cruise and the stunts. I mean, you can't go wrong. Always going to be a fun movie with Mission Impossible. Ant-Man was incredibly fun. It was kind of like that the goofier Marvel period that I remember from Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire, just a little more colorful, a little more not so serious. I mean, superhero movies have become more serious, and I like that. I think it's a good trend that kind of started with Nolan's Batman movies, but Ant-Man was a nice throwback to the goofier Marvel era. It was definitely a lot of fun, but there was not a movie this summer that made me feel like a kid more than Tomorrowland. The first two-thirds of Tomorrowland, I felt like I was 8 years old. Like, I was just watching a movie from my childhood. I had actually had to catch myself several times. I found myself with my mouth open. Like, that doesn't happen in movies too often anymore. But, like, I was so lost in that world that all of a sudden, like, you know, I come to my senses as, like, me sitting in a theater all of a sudden, and I find my mouth is, like, wide open. Like, whoa, what's going to happen next? Just that... that youthful feeling we have when we watched movies when we were a kid, you know? It's like, this happens, then that happens, and oh my gosh, is this going to happen? We're just thrown into this world. It was incredible. And in that third act, things do come down a bit. It loses a little bit of that fun spirit and the energy that it had. But no matter what, I mean, those first two thirds were just the most fun I've had at the movies this summer. And that alone gives it the Brody for best fun movie of this summer. Now, before we get into some of the more prestigious awards, we'd be remiss not to get this category out of the way. This is the worst movie of the summer. Worst movie. The nominees are Fantastic Four, Aloha, Jurassic World, and the Brody goes to Jurassic World. I don't think there's anyone surprised about that one who listened to my podcast on Jurassic World. Now, to be fair on this, I didn't see Aloha. I did read about it. It got some of the worst reviews of the summer. And this is that movie with Bradley Cooper, and they're in Hawaii, and it's something about Hawaii. It looked terrible. It really did. The plot, the trailer, everything looked awful. And I'm so sad about this. This is directed by Cameron Crowe. Cameron, you gotta come home, man. I miss you. Almost Famous is still one of my all-time favorite movies. On most days, I would declare it my favorite movie. Close tie between that and Lord of the Rings. But it's just a movie I can pop in any day. Almost Famous, Take Me Away. It's just such a great movie. And then Jerry Maguire is a classic. Cameron, you know how to make good movies. I believe in you. You can do it. You got to come back to the light, man. You got to come back, because Elizabethtown, We Bought a Zoo, Aloha, this is not going well. You're headed in the wrong direction, but you still got it, I believe. So, Cameron Crowe, let's hope he can come back and redeem himself. But yes, Aloha, I heard, was one of the worst movies of the year. And then Fantastic Four. Now, here's a dirty little secret. Fantastic Four is not a terrible movie. It is not. I was expecting it to be. Those reviews were scathing, and I went into it expecting it to be one of the worst movies that I've seen this year, but let me tell you, friends, this is a pretty good movie. This is a good rental, okay? I would give it a B-, C-plus if I'm having a bad day. I mean, it is a movie worth watching. Yes, there's some problems. The dimension they travel to, a little too generic. The confrontation they have with the villain is too fast. It's wrapped up too conveniently. Okay, I get it. There's some major problems with this film, but the first half is dynamite. Got a great rhythm to it. The characters are fun, and it's a great origin story. This is a kickoff to a franchise. We know there's going to be more movies, and I don't think that that you could have asked for much more as a kickoff to this franchise than what you got. So I was surprised. Fantastic Four is not a terrible movie. It was by default one of the worst movies I've seen this summer, but that's just because there were a lot of great movies this summer. I try to do a little research before going to movies, so I don't see a lot of awful movies, but Fantastic Four was in the bottom bunch, but it was not a terrible movie. But the worst summer movie by far was Jurassic World. And like I said, I did a podcast on this. If you have not listened to it, you can listen to it. It is in the podcast page. I hated Jurassic World with a passion, probably more than what is reasonable. I at the end of the day, if this was a standalone film, if it's just by itself, it's probably not a horrible movie, okay? But we are people, as film buffs, that grew up on this movie that just love it so much. Jurassic Park is such a great film from beginning to end, and it, once you've fallen in love with that movie, you can't go back. You can't accept something that is so unbelievably inferior. And again, the director himself, Colin Trevorrow, wanted this movie to pay homage to the original, so it's not unfair to compare it to that. There's references to the original all throughout it, and when you do that, and your product is so much worse than the original, then we're going to have problems. And this is a terrible film, in my opinion. And I'm glad I'm not alone in thinking that. I just saw an awesome tweet today from David Neary, who runs Do X Cinema. He says, "At the end of Jurassic Park, the kids look like they went through a war zone. At the end of Jurassic World, they look like they went to McDonald's." Yes. See, Neary gets it. Again, by itself, maybe it's an okay movie, but it's the comparison. It's searching back to what we loved about this franchise, and Jurassic World just doesn't get it across the board. And I hope that Colin Trevorrow can, this is just a fluke for him. He's going to be directing one of the Star Wars sequels, and goodness knows we don't need the Star Wars franchise resurrected, you know, with what is sure to be a classic this December. With J.J. Abrams, we do not need that going south with Trevorrow. So hopefully Jurassic World was just a fluke, and he's going to knock that one out of the park. I'm rooting for him. But this was a train wreck of a movie and the worst movie of the summer. And by the way, I wanted to say a shout-out to a guy at the Apple Store. I had my charger replaced there for, like, you know, the 150th time, and I'm just minding my own business, and this guy comes up to me out of nowhere and says, "Hey, man, have you seen Jurassic World?" And I'm like, "No, I don't know. It's getting some bad reviews. I think I'm probably going to see it." And he's like, "No, don't listen to him." And he was so serious. He just looks me in the eye and says, "Dude, that is a great movie. I went with my friends yesterday, and it was awesome. And I didn't like any of the sequels. I'm a man of the original. And I'm telling you, this is the one. Go see it. Go see it in as big a screen as you can." I was terrified. And I started getting excited. Like, I believed him, right? You believe Apple employees. They sell great products. They probably know what they're talking about. So I had my hopes suddenly inflated, which were kind of deflated after reading the initial reviews. And then, boom, just they popped right in my face. So shame on you, guy at the Apple Store. Shame on you. Stick to Apple products, not movie reviews. And I'm totally kidding, because you were a really, really nice guy, and I hope you're not listening to this right now. All right, let's move on. Next up, we have Best Actor. So we are starting to get now into the nitty-gritty. Here we go. Best Actor. Three nominees. Number one, O'Shea Jackson Jr., Straight Out of Compton. Corey Hawkins, Straight Out of Compton. Jason Mitchell, Straight Out of Compton. And the Brody goes to Jason Mitchell for Straight Out of Compton. Yes, all three leads were nominated because this truly was the best acting of the summer. And Straight Out of Compton, there's no question in my mind. What a great ensemble work. And from unsung heroes. I mean, who are these guys? I had never seen them in a movie. And maybe that's just pure ignorance on my part, not being familiar with their work. But I believe that they were relative newbies to the game, and they just killed it. These three guys playing, of course, Ice Cube, Dr. Dre, Eazy-E, members of NWA. There were two other guys, but they were the three that were most prominently displayed, much to the chagrin of those two other guys. But anyway, great trio of performances, front and center and Straight Out of Compton. And it was hard to pick a favorite, but ultimately we went with Jason Mitchell as Eazy-E, because I feel like, you know, you start off the movie with him, and he also gives you what I think is the best epiphany moment at the end. It's just like, it's a great arc of a performance, and I love the smoothness that he brings to the character, and I love how his character morphs and shapes, and overall, what happens to him changes everything, and it becomes kind of the moral center of the movie. So I just thought he was great. So Jason, congrats, man. Enjoy that, Brody. You earned it. And let me just say, in regards to Straight Outta Compton, maybe some of you have read the review I did of that. if you're a person of color listening to this, will you come right for us, please? I really would love for your voice to be a part of Cinema Faith. We need you. We have a Write for Us section on Cinema Faith. It's called submissions@cinemafaith.com is our email address. And so you can just submit some work that you've done, tell us a little bit about yourself, and we would just love to get you on board, because I just think we need more variety in our writing team. We need more races represented. We need deeper perspectives. And so we would love to have you join us. If you are listening to this and you're a person of color, please submit your work to us, and let's get you joined on this team. All right, so next up is Best Actress. We've done Best Actor. Now we will do Best Actress. Three nominees. Here we go. Charlize Theron, Mad Max, Fury Road. Britt Robertson, Tomorrowland. Amy Poehler, Inside Out. And the Brody goes to Charlize Theron for Mad Max, Fury Road. Yes. Now, Britt Robertson was great in Tomorrowland. No question about that. Amy Poehler did some great voice work for Inside Out, but I think the standout actress of the summer was Charlize Theron. Just blazing through Mad Max from the minute you see her. I mean, quite literally, but figuratively too. I mean, she is just, with a lightning rod around her, the standout of the movie for me. And because frankly, Max is a dud. Like I said in my review of it, you know, Max is a title character, and that dude is barely speaks, and frankly, is kind of a waste of screen presence. But Furiosa, whew, she's the star. And we happen to be recording this actually on the day that it is National Women's Equality Day. And so what a great day, Charlize Theron. There you are, for you to be winning your Brody. Because this is a feminist role, if I ever saw one. And I know that word scares a lot of people, but feminism at the end of the day is just saying that women can do anything men can do, and they are partners in this journey. God created Adam and Eve as partners to stand alongside each other and to hold each other up and to do this life together. And I think in Mad Max, you see a great example of that with Furiosa standing alongside Max, capable of doing the things he can do, has some strengths that he doesn't have. He has some strengths that she doesn't have, and it's a dance, and they work together. They get the job done. That is Furiosa. That is Charlize Theron. So congratulations. You win the Brody. So we have two more awards. Just two more awards. Whew. You can feel the tension in the air. Things are heating up. All right. This is Best Director. Best Director. First up, we have George Miller for Mad Max, Fury Road. Asif Kapadia for Amy. And Pete Docter and Ronaldo Del Carmen for Inside Out. And the Brody goes to Asif Kapadia for Amy. Yes. He looks a bit shot there. Absolutely. Now, you could make a strong case for George Miller here. I mean, that was definitely a director's film. Those familiar with George Miller's work probably couldn't be more pleased with what came out. This was like just straight from brain to screen. I mean, that is George Miller poured out for 2 hours for your viewing pleasure. So he did a great job as a director of that. And same with Inside Out too. I think, you know, Inside Out was definitely one of the best movies of the summer, and a good movie will always have a good director behind it. And so props to Pete Docter and Ronaldo Del Carmen. But this award goes to Asif Kapadia for Amy, and I'll tell you why. Asif changed up the documentary format in a way that I think was revolutionary. And maybe others have done this. I'll be honest, I don't watch a ton of documentaries, but I have never seen it done like this. There weren't interviews in the traditional sense where you have a talking head being asked questions and then them giving an answer. What Asif did was he took interviews with friends and family. I'm presuming they were interviews, but they didn't sound like interviews, and you didn't see them. So you have this amazing footage of Amy Winehouse, and you have her, and you have, you know, pictures as well. And the narration comes from her friends and family just reminiscing in this quiet conversational tone, like you're in the room with them, and they're just sitting there thinking back on how it was. It doesn't feel rigid like a lot of documentaries do. It doesn't feel like this guy just or woman droning on and on. It just feels very intimate and very personal. And I think that they make the movie. That directorial choice right there makes the movie. It ties the whole thing together, and it's what makes Amy a great film. So that is why, Asif Kapadia, you are winning the Brody today for Best Director. And that leaves us to our final award of the evening, the one everyone has been waiting for. This is Best Picture of the Summer. And the nominees are Amy, Inside Out, Avengers, Age of Ultron. And the Brody goes to Inside Out. Congratulations. Yes, it is official. Inside Out is the best movie of the summer. Pixar's done it again. Boy, do they have a great track record. Inside Out is everything you could ever want out of a summer movie. I mean, you have action. You might even forget that there's a lot of action in the movie because the emotions are so well represented, but there is a ton of action in it. You've got this crazy stuff happening inside this girl Riley's head, all these emotions, joy and sadness and anger, fighting for control over her mind, and all these things go wrong, and joy and sadness get kicked out of the control booth, and they got to find their way back, and so it's a great adventure. And then you have Riley and what's happening to her in real life, and these emotions of moving to this new place and not having any friends, and everything is falling apart for her from a personal perspective, and we can relate to that. It's such a great example of Pixar as artists. It's just they know how to make a great story that's just this perfect blend of you got action, but you have quiet, you have suspense, you got humor. It's everything you could want. Stuff for adults, of course, stuff for kids, and a ton of truth along the way. And my favorite truth in the movie is this whole idea of joy and sadness being linked together. I think that is an amazing revelation that we need to teach our kids, because we spend our whole lives pushing sadness away, get away sadness, chasing joy, running after pleasure and joy. And really what we need to remember is that some of the great joys of our life come from sadness. That's our whole gospel as Christians is built on that one truth, that Jesus died and it felt like everything was lost. But then Sunday came, that third day came, and the joy that the disciples felt and the joy that we feel because of the resurrection is that much more joyful because leading up to it was those 3 days, because we recognized the cost and the price that was paid and the weight of sin. So joy often is boosted by sadness, and they're intricately connected in ways that I don't think we like to think about, but that's the truth. So congratulations, Pixar. You guys win the most coveted award of the evening, the Best Picture of the Summer. Well, folks, there you have it. That's it. That's our show for the evening. I hope you guys enjoyed our first ever Brody Awards. This is going to be an annual tradition at Cinema Faith, so look forward to it. We are trying to fill that gap in the awards circuit. You can thank us later. It's all right. You don't even need to. You're welcome, America. And look, this is what we're all about. Summer movies are not throwaway entertainment. The good ones are art. And I think Jaws led that 40 years ago. And here we are today, just honoring a whole new batch of summer films that know how to tell a story. They know how to crank up the volume. They know when to be quiet, and they know how to speak truth. That's the summer, and we love it, and we want to honor it. And now, it's time to say goodbye. Summer's over. We are entering a brand new season, fall. And in the Midwest, the air is changing. Things are getting cool and crisp around here. And we're looking ahead. We are closer than ever before to Star Wars and ultimately the biggest granddaddy award show of all of them, the Oscars. So farewell, summer. We will see you next year. And keep the faith, my friends. I will see you next time.